The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Tell me about your dad.
I was 19. My little brother, I think, was eight or nine when he passed. After he died, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She became our rock, and now she had to go out and get work because the medical bills broke her. And Social Security and Social Security survivor benefits. We're fine pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. We had no boots. Mm-hmm. That's the boots. So programs that are just fundamental to keeping people from dropping into poverty, but to live with dignity. You keep talking about that.
We can't have a country and policies that let people fall through the cracks.
Yeah. I was hoping maybe we wouldn't have to.
I called you, Tim.
Yes.
You didn't answer, Tim.
I know.
What happened?
The most important call of my life. It popped up, and we didn't recognize the caller ID, and it went to voicemail.
Hi, this is Tim. I'm not able to answer.
There you go. Hey, Tim, it's Kamala. I really want to talk to you.
It is an amazing privilege. I'm excited. I just want to be part of the excitement that you're generating.
Well, we're doing it together, buddy.
It's fine.
We're doing it together.
I think Trump world's jealous of the joy right now. There's so much anger coming from Trump's speeches. Joy is real and it's important. People can make fun of it and say, focus on the policy. But if you ask political scientists and psychology professors, they'll tell you the emotions matter in politics.
Yes.
Sometimes they matter a lot more than the policies. And that's, I think, the big story this week.
So there you go. First, I mean, the two people that won't be interviewed by the regime media, not even the regime media. I guess they're interviewing themselves. That premieres tonight on YouTube, I think. Kamala and Tim yucking it up. Another awkward, cringeworthy conversation from these two. And then you've got CNN commenting on Trump, his campaign. They're now jealous. When we come back after I get through the small talk, I'll explain briefly what it is that we've learned thus far this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com. Also at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you go to Rumble, give us that thumbs up, leave a nice comment. We love to hear from you. You can also email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So far we've learned, I think in the last 2 days, that Donald Trump is a fool because he won't discuss policy. He won't get into policy. And Kamala Harris, as you just heard there, she's a genius because she's avoiding policy. I mean, why get into it when you have a campaign that's full of joy? We discussed some of that with you on yesterday's show. This is what they're running with. Joy, laughter, even as the country goes up in flames. And Trump, I mean, he's focused. He was in North Carolina yesterday. The whole focus is on negative things like inflation and the economy and losing jobs and the wide open border. And the crime, and the new kind of crime, the migrant crime. You're not supposed to talk about any of those things. And then quietly, as I went through the article, the Axios piece yesterday, quietly enough, Kamala's distancing herself from Biden. Distancing herself from Biden's unpopular policies. No wonder she won't talk about policy. But then you got Joe Scarborough saying, Trump's a fool. He's not talking about policy. Everybody wants to hear about policy. They're probably not going to hear a lot about policy tonight. The world premiere of Kamala interviewing Tim. Or maybe it's Tim interviewing Kamala. We'll find out. Or maybe you'll find out. I'm not sure I'll be watching it. I'll see a few clips in the morning. I've already played you a couple of highlights. You probably got the best bits right there. That's what this show is good for. You don't have to waste your time watching a full hour of people faking their way through a campaign. This is from Politico. Donald Trump on Wednesday delivered a pre-buttal of sorts to Kamala Harris's anticipated economic policy rollout later this week, yoking the president, rather the vice president, to the Biden administration's record on inflation while issuing his own vague promises for a second term. So Trump's policies, those are vague, but he is coming out and he's trying to yoke her to Biden. Why would he ever do that? Maybe because she's vice president. Maybe because, as the real president pointed out in North Carolina yesterday, she's working right near the Oval Office every day. That's right. They're a team. I mean, this was something that Democrats used to compliment Kamala for. Yeah, they're right in step. Kamala's involved. She's in the Situation Room right up until the Afghanistan pullout. Yeah, it's a lot of what the economy's doing right now. It's largely because of her work. They were saying this exactly 2 seconds ago. Okay, maybe not exactly, but just a little while ago, they were saying they're in this together. All of these, they're in total agreement on all of these policies that are ruining the economy. This says here, it was a link Trump returned to repeatedly throughout his hour-plus speech, an effort to blunt Harris's polling and fundraising momentum by tethering her to Biden. I mean, that's Politico basically saying, how dare you tether her to Biden? As if they're not on the same team. Trump noted this yesterday. They are a team, believe me. If you want to see a little something about Kamala Harris's economic policies, just look around. Look around the country right now. As I say, it wasn't that long ago when the Democrat talking heads, the regime media, they were saying, of course Kamala's tethered to Biden. They're on the same team. He's president, fake one at that. She's vice president. Listen to clip 10.
I think he is in a real good place because Joe Biden knows that he's bookending a tremendous record here that no president of the United States could ever match.
But I think it's very important to remember that this has been the Biden-Harris agenda. Kamala Harris has been an integral architect and executor of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration. These are elements of a policy framework that she devised as part of a key part of the Biden administration and is keen to see through to the finish line. But this notion that she somehow doesn't deserve credit for and isn't part of and wasn't an integral architect of the Biden-Harris administration agenda is not only false, it's frankly somewhat bizarre and offensive.
Of course she's tethered to Biden. She's the architect. That's Susan Rice. I don't know what date that was. What is it? August 13th. Was it August 13th? Or is that today? I'm lost on the dates. It would surprise me if it was that recent. If it was, what in the world? To read the Axios story yesterday and then now Politico saying, Trump's out there trying to tether her to Biden. Well, that's because he's president, she's vice president. They're on the same team. Listen to Trump yesterday as he talked about this team and what this team is doing to this country. Clip 7.
But she wants to talk for the future about these fantasies, but really what she needs to explain is the present suffering that she's caused along with Joe Biden. And by the way, they're a team. You know, she's trying to throw him overboard. She doesn't want to know who he is anymore. She doesn't want to talk about him anymore.
more truth bombs coming from President Trump, this time in North Carolina. Which, by the way, he's going to North Carolina because they're scared they're going to lose North Carolina. I learned that on the Meltdown yesterday. So, really, that's very revealing that he would even dare go to North Carolina. This is that Politico piece. Speaking in the same state in which Harris is due to unveil her economic policy on Friday, Trump jabbed the vice president for adopting one of his signature calls to end taxes on tips. He says ahead of her, you know, her big economic plan, that all she's going to do is put out ideas or policies that mirror mine, that copy mine. And then, of course, distance herself from Joe Biden. I guess it didn't work. The narrative that the regime tried to establish these many months, the last year or two, that the economy, yeah, it's better than it's ever been. Play clip 9. This, again, is from Mr. Trump's speech in North Carolina.
You don't have to imagine what a Harris presidency would look like. You're living through the misery right now, except it will get worse, and you're paying the price, a price like nobody's ever paid.
You're living through the misery. And she can present her economic policy on Friday. And then after she does, she heads back to the White House where she works. This is some of that misery as discussed in Fox News or at the Fox News website. A spate of robberies in the southern end of New York City's Central Park is being blamed on migrants as young as 11 years old living in city-run shelters, and the New York Police Department is now being forced to bolster patrols at the famed park. They're coming as young as 11 years of age. They're coming out from migrant shelters, and they're mugging people. They're robbing people, in some cases in broad daylight. Listen to this local report from New York City, clip 1.
Savino says the suspects in these crimes are in large groups, what he calls wolf packs, like this mugging on August 1st. He says they take off with things like wallets, phones, and bags.
So you can imagine the feeling. Imagine the feeling of that individual, predominantly tourists or soft targets, sitting on a bench and then ultimately being victimized by these wolf pack type robberies. It's tremendously concerning, and it's a new phenomenon, not only to Central Park, but really to the area.
He says many of the suspects in these crimes live in city-run migrant shelters, and their average age is just 15.
Although they're very young, you know, very impressionable, they do have a big influence on this group, you know, and that's something we haven't really readily seen. It's one of the first times I've ever seen it in my career.
If you are in Central Park, especially after sunset, they say between that time and 1 a.m., that is when the crimes are occurring.
It's the first time this law enforcement official has seen this in his career. Fox News says here, crime in Central Park has spiked dramatically this year compared to the same period last year, with robberies up 200%, okay, 200%. Felony assaults up about 43%, and major crimes up by 46%. This is according to the NYPD. And it says here, Chell blamed recent muggings as part of a pattern involving migrant groups. Migrant groups are causing this. And this isn't even the worst of it. You've heard all the other stories we've told you about on this program, the rapes, the murders. Sometimes people coming in illegally 2, 3, 4 times. And we provide shelter for them. We give them the cash card. We'll fly them across the country. And then they do this. This is how they return all the favors, so many of them. How many times have we seen the pictures, the video on this show of all of these young men, in this case, teenagers, just pouring across the border and then carrying out these kinds of crimes. We're having to create new terminology, as President Trump said, migrant crime. Here's what he said again yesterday in North Carolina, clip 2.
Yeah, we have people coming into our country from all over the world, not just from South America. Everyone thinks South America is really from all over the world. They're coming from Africa, from the Middle East, from Asia. They're coming from all over the world, and they're coming in because we have very, very stupid people running our country. They allowed it to happen. So we're being attacked. It's a new form of crime in the U.S. It's called migrant crime, and it's caused because of Harris, Kamala, you know, Harris. Nobody knows her last name. It's Harris. Nobody, everyone thinks of her as Kamala, so it's Kamala Harris, but it's because of her and Biden.
So there, obviously that was from an interview. But there you go. Migrant crime. I don't know why he got off on that tangent there at the end, but that'll be enough for Scarborough to say, you see, he's talking about her last name. He never talks about policies. I mean, the whole statement there is about shutting the border because migrant crime is just pouring into the United States of America. And who's impacted by it most? Well, just ordinary Americans that are enjoying Central Park. They don't have enough money to live in a gated community like the talking heads or the politicians. So they want to go out and enjoy the beauty of a park in the middle of Manhattan, a busy metropolis, all these skyscrapers and everything else, the traffic, the noise. Can't get away in Central Park, though. Certainly not in the evening. The New York Post says here, migrant released on $500 bail in child rape case is arrested by ICE agents. $500, that's all it took them to get him out of jail for rape. For rape. You think they're going to go that easy? Some judge somewhere in D.C., you think they're going to go that easy on grandma who has cancer that happened to walk into the Capitol on January 6th? What a system. Two-tiered, just like in the UK. I mean, they're throwing people in jail over there for putting up an offensive comment on Facebook. Meanwhile, the rape gangs, the crime, the criminals, some of them coming from Asia, as the news likes to report over there. They're not going to say Pakistan. They're not going to offend any nation. They're certainly not going to offend the Islamic religion. No, no. But go after ordinary British citizens. Just put them in jail. Have you noticed that the radical left loves cracking down hard on political opponents? Put them in jail. They've got Donald Trump's sentencing coming up in September. You've got people writing now that, hey, we failed at this, the law affair, the assassination attempt. Let's sentence him to prison. How do you think that's going to go over with Americans who by then will say, what was the conviction even all about? He's going to prison? You watch and see how that backfires. That's coming up September 18th, I think it is. Here's another one from the Post, because, you know, you have to go to Fox News or the New York Post to read about the crime, the new migrant crime that's invited into the streets of America. You think Kamala and Tim will discuss that in their little interview? I guess if you can call it that, I guess it's a discussion. The two people who won't be interviewed, having a self-interview, I guess. A Palestinian migrant whose name appears on the terror watch list for allegedly previously using explosives and firearms was caught at the southern border Monday. So they got a Palestinian terrorist. He's used explosives and that sort of thing, but at least they nabbed him. He's one of the few, one of many that they actually caught. How many got in? How many have made it in to the United States? How many have made it deep into the United States over these past 3 or 4 years? Listen to Donald Trump again from North Carolina yesterday, clip 8.
When Kamala lays out her fake economic plan this week, probably will be a copy of my plan because basically that's what she does. Just remember, she goes to work every morning in the West Wing. Her desk is 10 steps from the Oval Office. She cast the tie-breaking votes that gave us record inflation. And for nearly 4 years, Kamala has crackled as the American economy has burned.
The economy is burning. This article from, again, the New York Post. Subway has called a hasty meeting with franchises. This is supposed to be where the poorer people in America get their food, fast food, or a sandwich shop, whatever. They had this emergency meeting. Discounting has become a contentious topic of late. A Subway franchise with nearly 20 stores told the Post his same-store sales are down 5 to 10% in recent weeks compared to the prior year. I mean, you go into Subway and you see why. You're paying $10, $12, $13 per sandwich. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the specials when, maybe I'm revealing too much about myself here, but the sandwiches when they were, you know, under $5. Someone was telling me two burritos at Taco Bell, $14. And again, I won't say who it was to protect the guilty, but he does sub in for me sometimes. That got a little laughter out of the control booth. These are skyrocketing figures that ordinary Americans, even poor Americans, they're feeling it. They know something is wrong. Something needs to be fixed. And Donald Trump's putting a lot of emphasis on this, as he should. Policies, in other words. He's talking about policies, and then the regime criticizes him for not talking about policies, and then they do everything that they can to justify Kamala not talking about policies. Like I say, these are all lessons from this week. NBC News, Starbucks CEO out after just over a year amid sales struggles. Go into Starbucks sometime and just look at the fees, look at the cost for a cup of coffee. You can see why the sales for these establishments, they're plummeting. Because the same people that want runaway inflation, they also happen to be the same people that insist that the employees at these establishments get paid $15, $20, $25 per hour. That's the direction they're going in California. How does a business survive? You mean the cost for all of our food or our drink is going way higher, and then we've got to pay these higher salaries as well? We can't do it. How do we turn a profit? Well, maybe Kamala and Tim can tell us tonight in their premiere discussion. Film, I guess they've gotten such good feedback from filming the phone calls that now they're going to interview each other. Fake and phony. Every day, it's a steady diet of it. As I said earlier this week, who needs the late night comedians when you've got this? This is comedy gold. It's hilarious. And it's also tragic and sad. Because you know a lot of people really and truly are suffering. They're struggling to make ends meet. I played you that montage yesterday. The woman, the paralegal, brought to tears. She's like, if it's a challenge for me, what about the poor single mom who's on, you know, welfare? And then they wonder, why, never mind the Kamala mania, she brings joy. Isn't, like I said this week, isn't it perfect? You think of the devil. Satan the devil thinks he's the most joyous being in the universe. He comes as an angel of light. He talks about how much love and joy and peace he brings. Like, Trump's right. He's right. Look, all you need to do to see how Kamala's policy agenda will work, whenever it is that she releases it, is just look around you. Look around. She works, as Trump said yesterday, she works within a few paces, a few walking paces of the Oval Office, right down the hall from the fake president. Well, this story I've been meaning to get to as well, the voting machine. Maybe we could take a quick break, and I'll run off to Taco Bell for a few minutes, and we'll be right back after a short promo. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important. and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
I mentioned this headline from Politico, I think a couple shows ago. The nation's best hackers found vulnerabilities in voting machines, but no time to fix them. This is Politico. This is not like a conservative website or blog. Hackers have found how vulnerable. They're so easy to hack into, but there's just no time to fix things. I mean, you had a similar storyline coming out of Georgia, where in the interest of being transparent, they saw some irregularities as well, but then also, as part of the revelation, they also said, but you know, it's impossible to fix. Thankfully, the irregularities, there's not enough of them to actually turn the election in the other direction. Well, I mean, there was one just recently in Houston. I forget what the office was, but it was cheating, basically. I mean, that's one of the biggest, I think it's the biggest county in Texas. This is what gives Beto and company hope that one of these days they can flip Texas to a blue state because of the rampant cheating that just routinely goes on in Harris County. Democrats, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Democrats were sounding the alarm all through the 2000s, all through the teens, right up until 2020. And then, of course, the election was perfect. The machines weren't in any way vulnerable. There were no cheaters working as mules to stuff the ballot boxes. No ballot harvesting. No dead people voted. Nothing. Everything was just spot on. Just perfect. Politico, this piece, I gave you the title. Some of the best hackers in the world gathered in Vegas over the weekend to try to break into voting machines that will be used in this year's election, all with an eye to helping officials identify and fix vulnerabilities. The problem? Their findings will likely come too late to make any fixes before November 5th. So what's the point? What's the point if you're going to put on this, we are going to be transparent. There's no cheating. We'll show you. We're going to invite hackers in. They find all the problems, but then say, yeah, it's too late to do anything. Well, maybe more Republican governors will wise up, like Youngkin in Virginia, and just say, hey, let's just go to paper ballots. Probably won't be many more doing that, but that's what they should do. Just leaving aside the cheating, the lying, the stealing that we just have to get used to in politics. It's all over the place. But where's the leadership? You know, the people that are actually calling for fairness, for justice, you know, for strictures to put in place so that cheating doesn't happen. Where are these people? The story just appears at Politico, and then we're all reading it. I tell you about it on this show. You know, you experience you're angry. You're also shocked that it's just happening right out in the broad daylight of everything. And then we just carry on and, you know, go to the next story that's infuriating. Where are the leaders? Where are the leaders discussed in Isaiah 3, verses 1 and 2? Well, Isaiah answers that, doesn't he? God's taken them away. And to even discuss it, even when you've got stories like this, when you discuss it, the regime, they actively work to try to put you in prison, to sentence you to prison time. Notice how they, if I can get to the story, this was the one on putting Donald Trump in prison. Andy McCarthy. It's not just that Judge Mershon had previously denied the recusal motion. The judge has signaled that come hell or high water, he intends to sentence Trump on September 18th. Well, there was part of the quote where it basically, I think it was, actually, it's one of these clips I'm about to play for you, where they said, yeah, Trump, he's been indicted twice for questioning the election in 2020. And then you've got this political story, you've got the revelations in Georgia, you've got all of this news that even the regime is reporting on, saying that, well, I mean, there was some cheating. It is true, there was some cheating. Play this clip from Donald Trump yesterday in North Carolina, clip 6.
Joe Biden is a very angry man. You know that, right? Because they took it away from him. They usurped it. They took it away from him. Terrible, terrible. And I'm not sure that they picked the right guy in him, but he got 14 million votes. He got 14 million votes. He got no votes. And you look at what happens. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. They are a threat to democracy, right, as they say.
The Democrats stole it from Biden. Kamala didn't get one vote. It was earlier this week, he said it was a coup. Now, listen to CNN as they react to Donald Trump pointing out what's obvious. Yeah, the Democrat elite decided they wanted to replace the fake president. So they installed Kamala. And when Trump points this out and says that it wasn't done democratically, this raises alarm bells for the people at CNN. Oh, yes. Clip 4.
Donald Trump has been indicted twice over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And some of his recent attacks on Vice President Harris and how she became the Democratic nominee are stirring fears that he's laying the groundwork to try to do it again. Every time I hear him or people who are allies of Donald Trump say coup or say, you know, I spent $100 million on Joe Biden and look, the sort of a bait and switch, I think, uh-oh, what happens if he loses? Is he telling us ahead of time what he's going to do after Election Day, just as he did in the 2020 election?
There you go. The regime that cheated their way to victory in 2020 is they're very concerned that Donald Trump might cheat in the upcoming election because, well, he's talking about the Democrat coup to replace the fake president. So there's Dana Bash. I mean, this is concerning to her. What Trump, and you've heard it here on this show time and time again, what Trump might do, they say, as they cheat in elections, as they imprison their political opponents, as they destroy democracy. Listen to more from CNN. I think this is in that same segment, clip 5.
Then there's the what is happening on the ground in some of these key states that will determine the election. Georgia is an example. There's a new election rule in Georgia passed by the state election board. Counties now have leeway to delay reporting of the votes that come in. Election boards can demand more information and conduct inquiries before certifying results. And in addition to that, if you listen carefully to that very long rally, but he was praising three Republican board members who were appointed to their jobs this year, saying that they're on fire, that they're pit bulls for transparency, honesty, and victory. And it made some people go, okay.
The Democrat on that panel warned of how this could be misused in an election. And so it the difference between 2020 and now, or in 2024, is that it was kind of ad hoc, right, in 2020. Now it seems like groundwork is being laid potentially to at least slow down, if not, you know.
Well, this is hamper.
Groundwork is being laid. They're going to cheat, these Republicans. They can't even hardly conceal the fact that they're all Democrats there. And it's these Republicans that might use these new rules to get more information before certifying an election. That could be used for nefarious purposes. And they light up when they talk about the Democrat. The Democrat has warned that this new ruling could be misused. Now, I don't know if I remember saying yesterday or referring to, we didn't play the clip. Caitlin Collins, she's on with the funny man at the late night show, who says to her, now I know your organization at CNN is objective, and the audience, the New York audience, New York City, erupted in laughter. They know how ridiculous it is to suggest that CNN is objective. CNN is in the tank for the Democrat regime. And you see or hear it every day with clips like that. This is from Just the News. On Wednesday, the SEB voted to request that state GOP Attorney General Chris Carr reopen an investigation into Fulton County's counting of the results of the 2020 election. Fulton County, heavily Democrat, deep, dark blue. That's the county where I think the Ruby lady, remember she was, they pulled carts out from under the table. They were on video running ballots through the machines 2, 3, 4 times. That's where they said, yeah, there's flooding. And then we find out later it's a urinal leak. That all happened 2020. Listen to this. Listen to this. Dana Bash is concerned about what's happening in Georgia, but not for the right reasons. This says the request comes after the board closed the matter in May, but voted to install an independent election monitor for the 2024 election after an independent investigation found that the county likely scanned thousands of ballots twice in a recount of the 2020 election. What did Trump lose Georgia by? I think it was 12,000. And here's one county. Here's Fulton County. And this investigation finding that they scanned thousands of ballots twice. You don't have to be Einstein to figure out just how much you need to scan twice to put the fake president over the victory line. The election board approved the new resolution in a 3-2 vote. The resolution states if Carr does not conduct an investigation, the board will try to find an outside lawyer to conduct the inquiry. There you go. There you go. Again, the hilarious thing about hearing Dana Bash and all of her friends talk about cheating is that they're the ones that covered up the mass cheating, the rigging of the 2020 election. And here they go. If Donald Trump uses the word coup, you know what's coming. He's going to try to steal the election. If Donald Trump refers to, you know, the economic downturn as a bloodbath, that's a code word for calling for violence. He's going to bring his soldiers out to the streets. He's going to start a civil war. These people, when the country does erupt in civil war, you wonder if any of them will have even 1 ounce of remorse for this kind of reporting, for this kind of propaganda. Let's call it what it is. Listen to PBS. This is from a documentary on the upcoming 2024 election. This is clip 11.
David, are non-citizens voting in American elections?
We can't say for sure that there are zero non-citizens voting in American elections, but it's pretty darn close to zero, and this is a knowable thing. And there's three big reasons for that. First, voting by non-citizens is against the law. Second, there is already a requirement under federal law that every single voter who registers to vote in the United States provides ID when they register to vote. Every single voter does that. And then lastly, it's because the consequences for voting by a non-citizen are just incredibly disproportionate to the potential benefit. People who are here as non-citizens are here for reasons that are not about casting one ballot in an election in which 160 million ballots are cast. And if they do cast a ballot, they are painting a big bullseye on themselves, and they will get caught and they will be deported. So there's not much benefit there.
So you know why, you listen to this and you know exactly why PBS came forward, state-funded PBS, by the way. They came forward with this segment because there was that story a while back. Remember the guy in Georgia, of all places? He's going around to all these illegal immigrants saying, hey, have you registered to vote yet? 14% said that they had. 14%! And so PBS rushes to their defense, the defense of the Democrats, I should say, saying that, David, will migrants be able to vote in this upcoming election? Well, I can't say for a certainty that there won't be any, but it's going to be near zero. And why is that? Well, because it's illegal. Oh, great. It's illegal. They got here in the first place with illegal activity. They came across the border illegally. And yet there are the empty suits saying, surely they wouldn't do anything illegal. I mean, you just have to weigh the cost benefits. What would it benefit you to vote illegally if over here, you know, you might get caught and deported? They should be deported for illegally crossing into the country. It's upside down world for you right there. Isaiah 5. Here's another from that same PBS segment. The last one we'll play, clip 12.
Yeah, I think that it, just like any allegations of fraud or instances in which ineligible people are trying to cast their ballots, that is illegal, and we do catch it, and we hold people accountable. There are perhaps occasional times in various states in which one or two people might break the law, knowingly or unknowingly, and that's what the law is for us to then seek accountability, which states have done in those individual cases. But what that also underscores is that if there was evidence of widespread fraud or widespread instances of non-citizens voting, we would know that, mm-hmm. and we haven't seen that. And so we have to ensure we are not overreacting to what is a minor issue in our elections, where the vast majority, if not, you know, the significant voting that is being cast is all being cast by eligible citizens who are U.S. citizens.
And it's worth noting that this was a count in numerous of the lawsuits filed by Donald Trump and his supporters post the 2020 election. And through all those court cases, there was not documented instances of illegal voting, and certainly not enough to change the outcome of the election.
How does he know? So there was some, but not enough to change the outcome of the election. The cases were rejected. So we know that Trump's people did not have a leg to stand on. We know that much. Now there was some cheating, but not enough. Certainly not. He doesn't know anything, this man right here. All three of them. They don't know. They're just the same people that are saying everything's perfect as long as Trump loses are preparing you for the argument that if Trump wins, it's because of widespread cheating. They're saying this too, even as they're trying to put Donald Trump in prison. For what? Can you even remember? Because it's escaping me at the moment. I don't even know which one. Is it the hush money case or what? Who knows? Going back to that Andy McCarthy piece, it says here, if you're keeping score, that would be 2 days after early voting in 2024. That's the sentencing date, September 18th, sorry. It says, I suspect that Mershon will rationalize that Trump, A, was not charged based on official presidential acts, and B, would have been convicted even if Bragg's prosecutors had not introduced arguably immunized evidence. Such a ruling might be wrong, especially on the latter point, as trial prosecutors describe some of the testimony from Trump staffers as devastating. But Mershon made so many outrageous rulings in the case that it would be foolish to expect him to change course now. September 18th, what is it, a month away? And they've tried everything, as I keep covering on this program, everything to silence Trump, everything to eliminate Trump, everything to prevent you from hearing him talk about even policies with Elon Musk. The man took a bullet through his ear. That was on July 13th, just a month ago. And that's a story they want to go away. They want to get rid of it. They want to blot it out. America Under Attack, we refer to the book all the time. If you don't have a copy, a hard copy, just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with something a little bit lighter. This has been on the docket for, what, 2-3 weeks? This is the condensed version of that golf outing that Donald Trump had with DeChambeau, I think is his name, the world's greatest golfer at the moment. And I think he put out a video of like 50 minutes or so, almost an hour, and what you see in Donald Trump. I mean, it's very much like the back and forth with Elon Musk. There's a lot that ordinary people look at and say, you know what? I like it. I mean, he's down to earth. He's a simple man in so many ways, and yet he knows so much on so many different topics. He's funny. He's this. He's that. He's not setting up fake phone calls. He's not declining interviews right and left. He's not hiding in a basement. He's not running the economy into the ground. I probably don't have time to run away to a commercial, but not if we can fit in this 7-minute segment. But just to hearken on the point we made yesterday with respect to the sit down with Elon Musk and the tens of millions that are going to end up seeing that, it'll be interesting to contrast it with the Tim and Kamala chat this evening. YouTube will probably help them out and really inflate those figures as best they can. But here he sits down with Elon Musk and tens of millions want to listen in. And it's the same with this outing that he had with DeChambeau. It says, Bryson DeChambeau's golf round with former President Donald Trump is the top trending video on YouTube. So, I mean, this is from a couple weeks ago. The 56-minute recap, which went live Tuesday morning, has been watched by 6 million people, 6 million times. I think after a couple more days, it was up to 10 million. Delivered DeChambeau's personal YouTube channel hundreds of thousands of new subscribers. To put that audience size into perspective, NBC and Peacock's final round broadcast of the Open Championship's final round on Sunday drew 3.39 million combined viewers. A little over 3 million viewers watching the golf championship. And then 10 million that want to go see the number one golfer play a round of golf with Donald Trump. It says here, put another way, DeChambeau and Trump's hit and giggle has attracted 73% more viewers than the decisive round of the final men's major of the year. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. We'll play now. We'll finish the show with that 7-minute segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Take it away, guys.
I feel great. I feel like I have the best player in the world right now, and he's a winner. He knows how to do it. I hear it's a very hard thing to do. It sounds easy, but it's not.
Very difficult.
I think 5 eagles and...
And 12 birdies or 13 birdies? 5 eagles and... That's right, 13 birdies, 5 eagles.
So that's not easy.
23 under par. Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Not easy at all.
But we're going to have fun.
But it's a great challenge.
We're going to have fun trying, right?
Yep.
And you've had 7 and they haven't done it, huh?
Not yet. We've done it with Sergio. We haven't done it.
Would you rather be here or Durrell? That's the only question.
Man, I don't know.
You know, do you understand that, right?
Yeah,
this is a little more serene. I think you can drive this sucker. I think you can drive most of them.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
That's the big, it's a big factor. See the hole?
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Wow. This golf course is something else. We'll let you lead off there, partner.
Okay.
Let's see, smoke a good one here. Beautiful. Right at the flag. That's awesome. Great shot.
Okay, I got to ask, what's your favorite golf course of all your properties?
Well, Aberdeen is so incredible. Turnberry is rated number one in the world.
Uh-huh.
He went right by the hole, right?
That was close. Oh, beautiful. Come on. Oh, what a shot. Partner, great shot. That's how you do it right there. Gosh.
You think Biden can do that? I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I could do that. If President Trump gets inside of me, I don't know what's going on. Songs of all time.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Well, I have a great playlist. I have a playlist.
What do you got here?
So this is stuff that wouldn't have happened years ago. This is all good stuff.
Yeah.
It's too old for you, but I will tell you.
What's your favorite? Frank Sinatra, right?
Well, I have a lot of Frank Sinatra. Yeah. We'll play this when we're finished breaking this record, if that ever happens.
Time to say goodbye. I love it. I love.
Nice and soothing, right?
It is calming as ever.
But on a normal putt, you're hitting it even.
Very flat.
Right?
Very flat.
Good.
Birdies all around. Let's see if we can get our first eagle.
We're getting a lot of birdies.
20,000. So we're at 30,000 now, guys. Where's your favorite place to go in the world?
So you love Scotland because it's Turnberry. Mm-hmm. Turnberry got rated number one in the world, as you know, which is very hard when I own something that it gets rated number one in the world. Some people don't like
it. It's very impressive.
You understand?
Yeah, it's
for me to get number one in the world. And in Ireland, we have a place, Dunbeg, which is phenomenal. Mm.
I've been there. I was there last year, actually. Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. Jeez,
what a driving machine right there. Great job.
You know, I never heard this before. Gary Player told me this, and he won 168 tournaments and 18 majors and nine and nine. Mm-hmm. He said, President, you know, it's very intense. What are you doing? Because I always teed it level with the ground.
Yeah.
He said, the reason for a tee on a par three is you have to lift it up a little bit off the ground.
Yeah.
And I never heard that. I always thought bad players did that. You know, when I see guys lifting it up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all the years I played golf?
There's a lot of professionals that tee it up.
He said, the reason for a tee is because I always had it level. He said, what's the purpose of using it?
That's right.
All right, partner.
Let's see a good one here. Come in there. Come in.
Well hit.
Come in. Come on. That's a good strike. Good shot.
Well hit. Nice. Thank you.
I think it's going left to right, partner. Just outside the edge.
You think?
Literally right here. Personally, I like starting it up over here.
Yeah, pretty much, huh?
Yep. That's nice. Do it. Come on. Come on. Oh my gosh, what a great putt.
You see how high that was?
That almost went in.
What do you see there, right?
Inside. Oh, there we go. I love it. Nice. Good putt. That away.
He watched it in. He made sure it went in.
That thing definitely went in. Great job.
I thought I pulled it. I did pull it, actually.
That's how you do it.
That's all
you
right.
The putts. I hit the drives.
Now, in the Open Championship, formerly known as the British Open, which a lot of people don't understand, right? Putting is like routine from there, right?
100%. Yeah, you're putting.
You will mostly putt.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Why is that? The grass is different?
It's the grass, and also it can get really firm and tight and clumpy. And
it's like a green.
It's tough to chip off of almost sometimes, yeah. Beautiful. Sit down. Sit. It's turn. Beautiful shot. Okay. Nice. That away, partner.
It's a good call.
So I think this would be a solo birdie if you make this right here. I want to see you knock one in here.
This would be a very nice birdie.
Yes, it would be. All right, see a good putt here. Go in, go in.
Go.
Oh. Let's go. He made a solo birdie. That away, good job. Are you kidding me?
Well, I hit three good ones.
I did zero.
Honestly, that was
I didn't do anything that hole.
Perfect.
Winning a PS.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The A. You like the A?
Yeah,
I think you hit it. You hit it.
And they didn't tee it.
Yep. So, partner, we're on course so far.
We're at 11 under. There you go. Nice. He just walks off like a boss. Walked off like a boss, making eagles on par fours, just driving it, tapping it in.
That was a big one, huh?
Who's the most impressive celebrity that you've met personally?
Well, I know, I guess all celebrities in terms of a certain age, but I knew them all, and Sinatra. Yeah. The only one I didn't know was Elvis. I never met Elvis. Huh. Elvis was one of the greats, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Jackson very well, lived in one of my buildings. Had his honeymoon at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Great drive.
This hole.
That's right there.
It's perfect.
Okay. It's good.
This is doable, though. This is a 92-yard shot. President's been striking it well. Let's see it. Oh, beautiful. Go! Stop! Oh, good shot. Nice shot. This is pretty impressive. I didn't expect this. You have a hole-in-one story? A good hole-in-one story?
No, but I've made eight.
You made eight of them?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I've had eight.
Get in there. Oh. Let's go! That's how we do it. Oh, that's how you finish off the round. We shot 22 under.